Child care is expensive in Massachusetts. For some parents, it's like another rent or mortgage payment. Yet the early educators who watch over our children say they're barely paid enough to make ends meet, and many are leaving their jobs. Since the start of the pandemic, the industry has lost 12% of its workforce. All this week, we're taking a closer look at who bears the costs of childcare. We start off by hearing from early educators themselves. They talked with WBUR's Yasmeen Ammer, Max Larkin, and Carrie Young about the joys and frustrations of their work.
So, I am headed to the Early Education and Child Care Center at the Boston Chinatown Neighborhood Center, and I'm just about to meet Bernadette Davidson, who's a director there, and she's going to show me how this new child care labor market is impacting her organization.
I'm Bernadette.
Hi, I'm Carrie. What are we looking at in this room?
You're looking at a room that used to hold 20 children. And because we have not been able to find teachers, we've had to leave it vacant. They've gone, in some cases, to centers that might pay a dollar or two more in the suburbs. In some cases, they've just left the field. They're doing something else now because they can't survive.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm all right. First of all, just tell me about yourself. Introduce yourself, I guess, with relation to your work in early childhood.
My name is Anna Rogers. I've been working for about 10 years in childcare. I no longer do.
And tell me, why did you leave?
Definitely the pay is a big factor. Like, you cannot work in childcare and have your own house. You can barely, if you're lucky, have an apartment to yourself.
My name is Janet Montoya. I am a family childcare educator. We have our program on the first floor, and then we live on third floor.
My full name is Kimberly Artez. My title at my job that I am right now is lead teacher in a toddler classroom.
I am Kit Cox. I started working in early education in the late 70s. You know, there were days we used to joke where it would be much easier to say, would you like fries with that, than to be doing what we were doing.
I don't have insurance. I don't have vacation time. I have 5 personal days.
I have a MED, Masters of Education. Then I have an MS degree. And then I have a bachelor's degree, and that is in human services. And last but not least, I have an associate's degree in early childhood education.
As somebody with 4 degrees, including 2 master's degrees, what is the highest annual income you've ever made?
Between 36 and 38.
A year?
Mm-hmm.
In the 20 plus years you've worked in this industry?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about the last 2 years? Was there a pandemic low for you?
I was like just so freaked out about all the germs and all the stuff at first. So we closed at the very last when they said, you know, daycares have to close. And we thought it was going to be a 2-week thing. And you know, that turned into 6 extremely long months. My name's Stacia Buckman. I own and direct Tiny Town Children's Center in Plymouth, Massachusetts. You had to have like cohorts and you couldn't mix staff and you couldn't combine children. Like lots of PPE to feed and change the babies.
I have to replace the kitchen floor because we were using so many products to clean and to make sure that we were safe and the children were safe in our program.
You know, I have seen a lot of my colleagues leave, and it's like the worst I've ever seen since I've been here. Like, directors have to step to the classroom now. I've never seen it that bad. So my name is Kaya Savannah. I'm from Boston, Massachusetts, and I work at Ellis Early Learning Center. I teach 4- and 5-year-olds. I do have a 2-year-old at home who does come to Ellis as well.
Especially since you have to afford daycare, like fit daycare in your own life now. What types of financial adjustments have you made to make all of that work?
The last decision was to cut my hours. Cutting my hours meant getting paid less, but it allowed me to qualify for a subsidized slot so I can afford a slot for my child.
So my name is Vanessa Pashkoff, and I now live in Western Massachusetts. This is my first year where I'm not teaching in a classroom. You know, I want to express how hard it is and how much I hope people know that we do that doesn't get seen. But I also want people to really hear the other side, like the rewarding side.
Do you have a memory that you're like, oh, yes, like it was moments like these that made me think like, I love my job kind of thing?
There was a student, he was making this big structure, and I went over and I said, wow, can you tell me about this structure? And he put his hand on his hip, and he was wearing a boa, and flipped the boa over his shoulder, and he said, it's the statue of Little B, duh, in New York City. I was like, oh, the statue of Little B, like how amazing.
It's very rewarding. Working with kids is great. There's the moments of just sheer magic that you don't get in any other kind of work.
Oh my goodness. I love all those babies. I know it takes 3 months, 4 months to get them to sit, but when they finally do, it's the best thing ever. They get this new sense of independence all by just sitting up.
Those are warm fuzzies, and I get a lot of those.
What does it physically feel like to be in a classroom? Like when you come home at the end of a full shift?
I'm exhausted every day. I am like exhausted at the end of the day.
The respect that I get as a high school teacher, like as just a helper, way larger than the respect I would get as an infant teacher.
I remember one situation. I was wearing like an oversized, like a men's shirt, I guess, with the pockets in the front. And he had thrown up and the pockets filled with vomit. I just remember being like, this is happening.
Another thing that doesn't really get talked about, the majority of teachers are Black and brown women. But the majority of people in the leadership positions in early education are white women.
I made this long-term goal for myself that when it was her last year here, my child, she would be 5, it would be my time to go. Is it something that I really want to do? It's not. I love teaching at this level, but things are going to get harder for me. So I have to make that move.
WBUR's Carrie Young produced this story. Paul Vikas provided sound design and composed the music.